So tonight we're up to the second part to talk about Chodesh Bizman Hazeh. So just to recap from last week's share, when you learn the Rishonim on the sugya of Chodesh, it seems to be an open and shut case that Chodesh should be applicable in Chutz Laretz Bizman Hazeh on a Daraisa level. So what are the major hetterim that we came across at least last week? So one major hetter was the hetter from the Bach, that if the grain belongs to Goyim, so that it's not subjected to the rules of Chodesh, which would be very helpful today in America, where most of the major organizations that make this stuff, definitely the pastas, are not owned by Jews. You know, it's all owned by non-Jews, so the Bach's heter would be a very important heter.
Where does he get that heter from? What's it based on?
That's a question, where the Bach got it from. So he thinks it's more than that, because we had a Tosfos in Kedushin based on Yerushalmi that sounds lehepach. That sounds like even if it's owned by Jews, it doesn't make a difference. Again, you have to also remember, Shulchan Aruch writes Mefurish, that it doesn't matter. You know, the Bach is the Bach, but the Shulchan Aruch says clearly that even if it's owned by non-Jews, it's still subjected to the rules of Chodesh. So that's Heter Amor, and that's probably one of the most weakest Heterim. I don't want to, Chas V'Shalom, speak ill of the Bach. But then there's another Heter, which I don't remember if we got to last week, but let's mention it. The second Heter is from the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham brings a Heter from Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch is one of the Rishonim. And Rabbeinu Baruch was of the opinion that Chodosh in the Chutz Laretz is only Asa Medrabon. Okay. We keep the Rabbanans. Says Rabbeinu Baruch, yeah, they only Asa those the Rabbanans that are Smuch in Laretz Yisrael. So when the Rabbanan Asa'd Chodosh in Chutz Laretz, they only Asa'd it not every country in Chutz Laretz, only those countries that are close to Eretz Yisrael, like Egypt and Syria, but America and Europe that are so far from Eretz Yisrael, in that case, they never made the din the Rabbanan of Chodosh. So these are the two major camps of Heter. Now, what's the problem with this pshat? Because it's also not in line with the Rishonim. It doesn't go with the Rif, it doesn't go with the Rambam, it doesn't go with the Rush, it doesn't go with what we saw in Shulchan Aruch. It's a minority opinion of Rabbeinu Baruch, and this is what the Magen Avraham is holding all of Klal Yisrael behind, this Shita of Rabbeinu Baruch.
What's the right that it's be the Rabbanan only because the Pasuk?
Because he brings a hostical, he has a whole different mahalach to learn the Gemara. He wants to learn that maybe we talk a Pasuk like the Tanakhama. The Chodesh is not Ibein Baruch, it's Ibein B'chutz Laretz, but only Midr Rabbanan. On a Rabbanan level in Chutz Laretz, with this caveat that we don't, it's only the Rabbanan on Mekomos HaSmuchos Laretz Yisrael.
Tanakhama doesn't say it's
the Tanakhama is very vague, doesn't say anything. It's a whole Mechudishnik way of learning the Gemara. But the kicker is, look at the end of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham writes, at the end of number 16, he writes, he says, Ladas nearly Ladas Rabbeinu Baruch, Liyashiv Minagoylam. This whole Rabbeinu Baruch was to answer what Klal Yisrael was doing. Meaning, the Magen Avraham fell in, the Magen Avraham lived in the 1500s, 1600s. So he had the same dilemma that the Bach had. That we saw G'dayim that just didn't keep Chodesh. So they had to come up with a justification for it. So what's the justification, says the Magen Avraham? This Rabbeinu Baruch. So this Rabbeinu Baruch was really here to be Melamed Chus on Klal Yisrael. Again, the Magen Avraham was later. The Magen Avraham was 100 years later than the Bach. So he also had the same problem. He looks around and he says, I see great rabbis that are all in Chodesh. What's going on? So he says, oh, it must be we hold like Rabbeinu Baruch. Says them, but this is the best part, he writes. Avul bal nefesh yachmir b'mash efshaloi lizar. But he writes, but bal nefesh should be machmir. Which means he's not saying that this is the heter to take it, run with it. He's saying this is to justify why people are not as strict as they should. But a bal nefesh should be machmir. So therefore writes the Magen Avraham, a bal nefesh should be machmir. So these are the two major heterim that exist. That again, these are all achreinish heterim, not rishonim. Right? Again, the Magen Avraham is using a rishon. But if you learn the sugya the way you learn any other sugya, with mechaber and ramah and rif and rambam and rosh and gemaras, the conclusion would be that Chodesh is a serious problem in Chutz Laretz. But we have two heterim, one from the Bach, which is based on the premise that it's owned by Goyim, and the Magen Avraham, based on the premise that's only the Rabban. Yeah.
Can I ask what the very end of the Magen Avraham says?
Right. No, that's part of it. Part of it is that he has his chiddush that when the rabbanon asked chodesh and chutz laretz, they only asked, they didn't make it karplanch asr everywhere. They only asked it in mekaymes asmuchas laretz Yisrael, those countries that are near Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Europe wasn't near Eretz Yisrael. America's not near Eretz Yisrael. It's not a problem.
And why did they do that?
Because if Xer and Rabbanon, they're afraid, because if you're going to be so close to Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael, Chodesh is Midaraisa. You across the border, you're going to forget. But here, who's going from America to Eretz Yisrael? Now, granted, you can clear. What would they do, Bizman Hazeh? Today, Eretz Yisrael to America is no big deal. It's so close. You're on a plane. You're there, you're there a few hours. Maybe they talk, it would have changed it. But we're lucky. When they instituted this, the Rabbanon, it was pre-airplane days, and therefore, it's only
the Kemet Sesmuch. Markets, one to the other.
Right. You're going to do.
Israel,
That's correct. That's right. It's a much stronger chance that something Chodesh is going to end up. That's correct. Right, that whereby Truma, by certain inyanim of Zeroyim, right. Okay, so if we were to stop right here, do we have a very compelling argument for us not to keep Chodesh or not to be Makbid? I wouldn't say we have. I think we have a compelling argument to be Makbid. So I heard one. Now's the best time to talk about Chodesh because not Negeibus right now. Because now till Pesach, not till August, everything is Yashan, so you don't have to worry. This conversation you have to have with your wife, to be honest. If you want to keep Chodesh and Yashan the right way, you really need to talk to whoever does the cooking and the shopping in the house, because that's going to be the one who's going to have to be checking the labels. Now, you could keep it yourself whenever you go out to eat or you go to a simcha, but it's really a serious investment to take this, I don't know if chumra is the right word, but to take this din and be machbid on it here in America. And if you live in Eretz Yisrael, this is no big deal. But here in America, it's a little bit more tricky.
My son, who's machbid on it, he has a guy in the IU that he speaks to. So he says, not even August, even until October.
Oh, yeah, he goes that far?
Yeah,
they say barley might come up earlier. But again, these are all things that we can be mivar, which we'll talk a little bit as we go further. So now, where does this leave us now? Where are we left at this point? And we're left, again, historically, we're right now in the middle of the 1600s, the Magen Avraham. And it seems like Baal Nefesh should be Machmir, and it seems like the Bach was Mekel. So now, how did this play out in conventional Gedolei Echrim? So let's take a look at number 17, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Now, it's important to know the Shulchan Aruch HaRav was the first Lubavitcher, but the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, his psakim carry enormous amount of weight in all circles. People think only Chabad learned Shulchan Aruch HaRav. It's totally incorrect. All circles learn Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and his psak means a lot. But what's more important about the Shulchan Aruch HaRav was who he was a Talmud of. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav was one of the great Talmidim of the Maggid of Mizrich, who was a great Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, which is going to be important as we continue on. Says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, number 17. He writes, Avokol Baal Nefesh lo yismach al matirim alalu. Any Baal Nefesh should not be seimech on all these atayim that we mentioned. V'yachmir la'atzmei b'chol ma'ashev shaloi, and he should try to be as machmir as he can. You have to remember, in the 1700s, they were very limited to what they could be machmir in. It's not like today. And this is something we have to keep in mind as we go through the sugya. Timing is a big, big, big difference. Today, with first of all, we have such different access. Today, you can Google, you can call up a company. Back then, it was, in the 1700s, you think you could get the information of when the grain was grown. You're lucky if you had grain. But he writes, do as much as you can. He says, "Kiaskomas roiver rishayin v'achreinim shachodesh noyig min atayra af b'chutz laretz ubechamakim af b'shel goy ki kain ikur." Says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, "Be makbin al chadosh." Now we'll see later. Are Chabatskers today makbin al chadosh? No, they are not. And that's a kasha. Shulchan Aruch HaRav is pretty clear. Okay, that we'll have to get to at some point. Now, one of the major proponents to be makbin al chadosh was the Vilna Gaon, which is why many Litvishers are Makbin HaChadosh, because of the Vilna Gaon. What does the Vilna Gaon write? So he's quoted in two places. First, he's quoted in Maaser Rav. In Maaser Rav, they write, Chodesh Noig B'Zman Hazeh B'Chutz La'aretz. Chodesh is Noig today, and in Chutz La'aretz. That was a sheet of the Vilna Gaon. That's what they quote in Maaser Rav. But if you look in the Vilna Gaon, on Yaredeya, he has such strong Lashonis. Listen to his words. Number 19 writes the Vilna Gaon. He quotes the Bach, and the Bach's famous heter that it doesn't apply to goyim. All the achrayim already clapped him over the head. Everyone already yelled at the Bach for saying that. The shkaga yoytzi mitachas yodei v'toyva hoyslo the beragoyla kanashtik. The beragoyla who quotes his Bach should have been quiet. The beragoyla was the zeda, was the grandfather of the Vilna Gaon. Okay, so that's a really, really shock. He's mad at the Beragoyla, who quoted the Bach, who was Mekel, that there's a heter to use Chodosh from a guy. So the Vilna Gaon was very, very, very makbid. And that's why many his grandfather quoted the Bach. The Vilna Gaon was adamant about this. The Vilna Gaon was makbid to the umpth degree, Chodosh, Chutz Laretz, you have to be makbid. Which is again why many Litvish Jews who follow the Vilna Gaon are usually makbid.
To the point where if they couldn't get it,
yeah, they look at it like it's a pig. You know, you wouldn't eat pig. And obviously, it's kuach nefesh, they would. But they took this very seriously. And again, to be fair and honest, it really should be looked at as a suffix yisra deraisa. The Rambam writes, if you eat chodesh, you get malchus. Right? I'm saying, we should be taking it seriously. Now, we'll see why we're not, just because of society. But again, in Lombus and in the sugya, it presents itself that way. What are the other achrayim of the 1700s write? So we have the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, he goes through all the heterim, and he writes at the end, he says, He says the Hamachmir Tava Elav Brachwa. Right? Very popular sefer, was religiously learned. He writes Vamachmir Tova Elav Brach. So that sounds a little bit more like, you know, there's room to finagle. If you look in the Chayodom also goes through all the heterim, and he says, I'm like three lines in number 21, Ach Kevin Shudov Kosh the Cholodom, since it's hard, Ulachain Saimichal Apois Minasriel, the Enonag Bechot Slarit, Umikom Okim, Kolo Oyev Navshoi. Anyone who loves his soul, Yarchik Mizeh. Now, you have to remember, for them to keep Chodesh was a million times harder for us to keep Chodesh today. It was a million times harder. And here he writes, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, Bal Nefesh, which is what the Magen Avraham wrote. The Chayodim writes, if you care about your soul, you should be Machmir. So there, it sounds like they're pushing it. And then we come to the famous Tshuvas Chassam Seif. Right,
so that they take root before we begin.
Yeah, so we're going to come back. He's quoting a Rambam, which we're going to come back to B'linad on page 5. Right. About a Sfek Sveka. We'll get to it on page 5. B'linad, hopefully we'll get to it. I didn't think this would take so many weeks, but okay, we got to learn the sugya. It takes time. Now, there's a famous Tshuvas Chassam Sofer. Why is it so famous? Because he quotes him as Rebbe Reb Nosson Adler. Reb Nosson Adler had an interesting practice. Reb Nosson Adler held, there's a couple times a year we read Parshas Emor, where the Torah describes the Issa Chodesh. It's actually, to my knowledge, I think it's 3 times a year. David, you could correct me. 3 times a year. We have Parshas Emor, we have Pesach, and Sukkot. So the Reb Nosson Adler told the Chassam Sofer, on Sukkot, when we read that Parshas Emor, and Aliyah pops up at Levi, don't give that Aliyah to a Levi who's not Makban HaChodesh. So the kash is, why is it only on Sukkot? So the answer is Pashat. Why? Because on Pesach, the Oymer is already Matarit. Parshas Emor, the Oymer was Matarit. The only time you're going to read Parshas Emor and have this problem is Sukkot. So Zokta Chassam Sofer.
We laid it the last days of Pesach, not the first
day. We laid it the second days of Pesach.
The second.
I'm saying.
Because we laid it the first.
Right. But we laid it the second days of Pesach. Then Parshas Emor is for sure after the Oymer. The only time is Mamish Sukkot. Sukkot's time is Chodesh is really a problem. So writes Chassam Sofer number 22. He writes, he would not give the aliyah to a Levi who ate chodesh. How can you let the guy get the aliyah? If he's going to go home, get the big shmak aliyah, you know, give money to the shul and go home and have a ganze suda full of chodesh. How could it be? They say Rabbi Vajra was also makbid. He wouldn't give the aliyah that talks about shaving to people who shaved with an illegal shaver. He said they also had this tradition. So every once in a while, you don't give an aliyah to a person who doesn't fit the kriya that the Torah is talking about. But in any case, That's right. So interesting shaila. So it sounds like from the Chassam Sofer that he took this somewhat seriously. Because again, if this whole thing was Mekel like the Bach, well, I can't give the guy an aliyah, what's the Hochum? So the feeling I get that they were somewhat Machmir. So why is it, and this is something you can, this is one of my pet peeves in Judaism. We've spoken in the past about Cholov Stam. Right? Do you drink Cholov Stam? Don't you drink Cholov Stam? Rav Moshe, the whole shebang. At worst, if I would go over to a cup of milk, Tuscan Farms, and drink a cup of milk, what would I be over? An Issa D'Rabbanan. Cholov Akum, at its worst, is only an Issa D'Rabbanan. It's a chash. Shema, maybe the guy mixed in some pig. It's an Issa D'Rabbanan. It's not an Issa D'Rabbanan. There's no way it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. Why is it not an Issa D'Rabbanan? So we mentioned in the past why it's not an Issa D'Rabbanan. But it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan. And Chassidim, Amakbid, Gomer, Sheba Gomer, they don't even sell Chav Stam milk in Bar Park. Try it. Go next time you're in Bar. Go to Williamsburg. I've done this before. Only me. I look at these things. Next time you're in Bar Park, next time you're in Williamsburg, try to find Chalav Stam milk in the store. You're not going to find it. Why? Because it's very simple business. There's no need for it. There's no supply and demand because no one's drinking it. I was telling you before Pesach, I was talking to a Chassidish guy. You can't find machine matzah in Bar Park because there's no supply. There's no need. Why would you sell something no one's going to buy? It's simple. Now, you're not going to find one chassid under the earth, under Tachas HaShemayim, who's not makbin on Chalav Stam. But you're not going to find, you're not going to find too many chassidim that are makban on chodosh. Why? Chodosh is an isser deraisa, suffix isser deraisa. You're not going to find too many that are makban. What happened? Why are the chassidim so makel? So the simple answer is, it has to do with what happened in Europe. That's the simple answer. Why? Because in Europe, they were all makban on the Chalav Stam. Because it was common to be machpel l'chol. Everyone was machpel l'chol stam. They had no government involvement. They didn't have mass production in a company like we have today. So everyone was machpel l'chol stam, and no one was machpel l'chol just like the Bach. So that's the simple answer. But there's a bigger answer. There's a famous psak from the Baal Shem Tov. Now the Baal Shem Tov is talking. We're talking the end of the 1600s, early 1700s. The Baal Shem was in the Hasidic world, the father of Hasidism. So Baal Shem Tov writes like this, number 23. How Baal Shem Tov, this is from the Baal Shem Tov Sefer on Chumash, Parshas Emor. How Baal Shem Tov shoyl b'chalomoy al chodesh b'zman hazeh. You want to know what the Baal Shem Tov dreamt about? Not what me and you dream about. He dreamt about what's chodesh b'zman hazeh. So the Baal Shem Tov once in a dream wanted to know what's the status of chodesh b'zman hazeh. Now again, he lived at the end of, we're talking about, the Bach was already gone. The Bach was the 1500s. We're talking about the early 1700s. So he already knew about the Bach and all this stuff. So he asked about it. They told the Bach in a dream that you should know, they told the Baal Shem Tov that you should know when the Bach died, he cooled Gehenim for 40 days.
He cooled
Gehenim. Why? Out of respect for what the Bach did. What did the Bach do? He came up with a heter for Chodesh. He justified why all of Klal Yisrael was eating Chodesh. So that was a big covet for the Bach. So they gave him some covet. So Uba Boiker Omar Baal Shem Tov v'shalach lehevi lo sheichem and a chodesh v'shaso. That morning he woke up from the dream. He said, "Ah, the Bach, bring me some chodesh." V'Omar kedai habach shemater kedei l'smachalav. So the whole reason why chesidim I make on chodesh is because of a dream of the Baal Shem Tov relying on the Bach.
Shulchan
Aruch didn't. And again, I pointed out to you, the Shulchan Aruch was the Talmud of the Magid, who was the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. Very strange. He didn't get this dream, right?
Would that fly with
anything else? Most of us wouldn't make major psakim like that. But listen to this var from the Stipler. 24.
Yeah. Does it make any difference between, I know at the end of the day, the quantity of the chodesh are even a drop. Meaning, why should Shechar be awesome? I understand we've bred...
So Shechar is totally in our sugya that we did over Cholomoid, about whether or not that's considered Zeyah or not.
So I'm saying, is what? There an issue of, let's say, Zeyah?
That's a big question. That if we had time to talk about that, that's a whole.
It's got weed.
So beer might be different than schnapps. Some poskim are talking make with chodesh schnapps because of the svar zeyah, the whole sugi that we did about zeyah and schnapps, right? Some are. There's a whole kuntres. The Pnei Yeshua talks about it. There are people I know. Again, if you talk a machbin a chodesh, you got to worry about schnapps also. So some poskim are not worried about schnapps because they're saying on zeyah.
You don't have to worry about schnapps because it's.
Well, you have to know whenever it's.
Right.
You'd have to know. So schnapps is stored.
But
you'd have to know.
Right.
Correct. Once it went through a year, it would be okay. Right.
There's always been an omer that passes for schnapps.
At some point, you'll have the omer that was matter it.
Once the omer comes, it could be 10 years ago.
So beer might be a bigger problem. Beer could be. Okay. So listen to this word from the Chazinish. This is amazing. Moran HaChazinish Omer HaGadol Mechem Kenevsky Shlita. The Chazanish once told Reb Chaim Kenevsky, HaChofetz Chaim Omer, the Chofetz Chaim said, Kishayov u'lo ilamo emes v'yishalu esa odom lo machal techodosh. When every Jew comes up to the next world, they're going to ask him, "Nu, why do you eat chodosh?" So you latir it shabach iter. You talk Hashem Baruch Hu, the Bach was matrit. Avo kishayishol u'ayis madu et debat aloshen hara. When they ask you why he spoke lashon hara, al ze lo yilatir ze gam habach lo matir. You can't tell me the Bach was matir. That says the Chofetz Chaim, because the Bach was not matir speaking lashon hara. Gavaldik avort. So this is what the Velt was saying. We're all saying the Bach was matter. We can all sleep easy at night because the Bach was matter.
And sorry, what was he relying on?
The Bach was relying on the fact that the grain belongs to non-Jews.
And again, he gets that from the
Puzzlers? No, we don't really know where he gets it from. He has rice from Gemara's and other places. Yeah, but Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. Shulchan Aruch says, Bein Shei Yisrael, Bein Shei Goy. So this is the heter of the Bach.
The Puzzlers says,
yeah, it could be B'chol Moshe V'Seichem. No, B'chol Moshe V'Seichem just means where you live. It doesn't say who owns it. The ownership is not discussed in the pasuk, right? His heter is actually better than the heter of the Magen Avraham.
Why?
He has a raya from a Gemara. He has a whole shtickle Torah. How does he come to this conclusion? It's kedai that he could spend the whole share just how the Bach got to that conclusion. But I decided to leave that part off. Just the facts. The facts are: if you want to eat chodesh and not feel guilty, so you can blame the Bach or be semich on the Bach. Now let's go through some of the different paiskim. We'll start with the chesidish paiskim, the Moshe the Avnei Nezer, the Sachet Shava. I wouldn't call him a chesidish paisik, but listen to what he writes. He says, "Ulam zoy shemati bara shema shechaside Poland ain't an izar beisuch chadosh." Why is it that so many chesidim from Poland are not makbid on chadosh? So he writes, It comes from the fact, Nitzmeach Machmas, it comes from the fact, Ki bebeis HaRebi miLublin, from the, by the Choyza Lublin, talking about mid-1700s, Hoyinoysen al-Shochan Kusmos Shochadosh. They used to put out Chadosh on the table. Ki HaRebi Yoimer Me'achash Ezikne Abach Hitter, Ein Loi Lochosh. Because his zayd of the Bach was matarit, so that's it. It's mutter. So if the Chayzim Lublin ate Chadosh, well, everyone else ate Chadosh. So Zakta Avdeinezer, this is why in Poland, the Chassidim all ate Chadosh.
By the way, this Heter, the Bach, is only if you know Dover Borer.
Correct.
That it was a God.
Correct.
But if you're not sure.
Right. So then you can, well, then it might be a little better. And you might play the Suffolk card, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. Now take a look over here in the dark. Yeah, the famous Muramoz Svek Sveka, which we can spend a lot of time on. We'll talk about it, hopefully it's on page 5. Hopefully we'll get to it. The Darkei Chaim V'Shalom recording the practices of the great Munkacher Rebbe, the Menachas Alozer, the Munkacher Rebbe. Listen to what he writes. He writes, Daitoi lahalocha, shebizman hazeh ein lahachmi le'inye isu chodesh. V'kosa b'sifroi, b'shei mar oviv ha'goyin ha'kodesh bal Darkei Tshuva. The Darkei Tshuva was the father of the Menachas Alozer. Right? You learn Yoredeya, there's a sefer called Darkei Tshuva. You know, it was like a cheating sefer. The Darkei Tshuva, the Munkacher Rebbe's father, hired different people to be malakit all the shitas. All today we'd call it a cheating sefer, not in a negative way. They gathered all the different opinions and they put it together in a sefer. So when you learn Yerideya, you open the Darkei Tshuva, they have you all the opinions right there. So his father, the Darkei Tshuva, says Shashoma Mimorin Agoyin Hakodesh Bal Divrei Chaim Misans. So the Munkacher Rebbe's father said he heard from the Sanz Rebbe Shehirish Aloi Melachem Bishmarzeh Bechutz Lash Bechadesh. Who used to get upset on those people that are makbid on Chodesh. So if you remember when we talked about Mishim Matzahs, who carries a lot of weight in the Hasidic world? The Sanze Rebbe. So if the Sanze Rebbe was adamant about being machmer on Chodesh, so it's no surprise that the Chassidim are not machmer on Chodesh. Because the Sanze Rebbe was Mekel, and you have the Chayzim Lublin was Mekel. So a lot of great Hasidic Rebbes were Mekel, which explains why today the Chassidim are, by and large, not into Isser Chodesh, even though it's probably a more chomer iser than is chalav stam. Okay, so now let's see something interesting. I told you that chassidim are not makbid on chodesh, but I found one chassidic rebbe that was. Who did I find? They quote from Rebbe Nachum Nochem Chernobyl. If you know a little bit about chassidic rebbes, so he was the father of the Chernobyl dynasty. The Chernobyl dynasty today is not so popular, but what's more popular from the Chernobyl dynasty is Skver. Skver and many other great Chassidic rabbis come from Chernobyl. Now he was, Reb Menachem Nochem was also a Talmud of the Magid of Mizrich. The Magid of Mizrich was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. So he's a second generation Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. So if you're a second generation Talmud of Baal Shem Tov, what do you think you're going to pass on a Chodosh? Mutter. Or probably they'd say Mitter, not Mutter. That's too Litvish a way of saying it. It's Mitter. What do they write over here in the Sefer? Be'an Hogas Arav HaGoy Reb Menachem Nochem of Chernobyl. In the Anhogus of Reb Nachum Novim in Chernobyl, b'teich kam dvarim shemoir lizar behem kosav v'lizar machilas chadosh. In his private sefer where he writes all things you should be machmer, one of the things he says, you should be machmer al chadosh, which is very much not in line with the tradition from the Baal Shem Tov. So they write over here in the footnote, he says, this guy who wrote a sefer, he writes, v'sochli ha'admar miskver shlita. He said, I spoke to the Skver Rebbe. Now what does the Skver Rebbe have? Skver Rebbe is an enikol from Chernobyl. It's all in the family. He says, the Skver Rebbe told him that this Rebbe Nachum Nochem of Chernobyl, who wrote a sefer called Me'or Einayim, he wasn't really makbid on the Chodesh either. He says, He says, I don't get it. The Skver Rebbe said, I'm an Einikol from Chernobyl. In the family, we keep everything from the Alta Zeda. And none of us are Makban HaChadosh. It can't be the Alta Zeda was Makban HaChadosh. So even though he writes in his Anhogis that you should be Makbid, the family says it can't be. Okay. So I have a Talmud of mine, whose last name is Torsky. He's an Einikol from the Mori Naim. So I put him on the case. I said, go find out. What's the tradition amongst the... He didn't get back to me yet. Okay. So that's something you got to figure out. So the Skver Rebbe claims there's no way the Ma'ari Naim was Makbid. But the Ma'ari Naim writes... But again, I had Taka Avakasha because the Ma'ari Naim was a Talmud of the Magid. The Magid was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. It doesn't seem to fit.
But the same thing with the Shulchan
Aruch. Same thing with the Shulchan Aruch. Right. And the same Kasha with the Shulchan Aruch. Right. These were all big Talmud. They're all the same Kufa Berach. All Talmud and Muvakim from the Magid, who was a Talmud Muvak of the Baal Shem Tov. That's somewhat very strange. Now, if you take a look over the Nitta Gavriel.
In those days, it was so clear who held what. I mean, the Bach's Tshuva was in writing.
The Bach was already out there for a while. And they knew what the Baal Shem Tov held. They were all Tamidim of his, and I guess some did, some didn't. So listen to what he writes over here. This is great. He quotes over here in the Nitta Gavriel. He writes, he tells you, look at the Shas Tshuva, the base Ovi. Shagoyin HaKadosh Merashmi Bells. He tells you, what are the Rashmi Bells? Who is the Rashmi Bells? Shalom Belzer. Shalom Belzer was the end of the 1700s, beginning of the 1800s. From the Bells dynasty that we know of today. This is number 28, page 3. Diber Bekotche Shekol Yisroel Mechuyovim Ligdor Geder Kol Hashanah. They quote, the base Ovi was a Blibus. He was an early Rav in the turn of the 20th century here in America. And he writes that the Shalom Bells was Makban HaChadosh. Okay. He says, good. So they tie in, they said, there's no way Reb Shalom Bells was Makban HaChadosh. Why? Because I told you last week, the Bach was a Rav in Bells. And Reb Shalom Bells came from Bells. There's no way in Bells they didn't follow the Bach. Now, that's funny because the Bach was a Rav in a bunch of towns, not just Bells. But says over here, he quotes over here, he says, "Val inyan chodesh hoya agayin atzkoyin tzadik ab Yaakov Yitzchak Neiman, Rav de chassidi Bells b'man shriol, me'elo mo shemati elu hadvarim." I never heard that Reb Shalom Bells was makban chodesh. V'loy mistaver, sheba asro de Rav, sheha Bach hoyav bezden Bells, yachmiru. So how can it be that in the town where the Bach was the Rebbe, they're going to be makbet? So we have two potential reports of Hasidic dynasties that were Makban HaChadosh. So when we say Hasidim are not Makban HaChadosh, we have to be a little bit more careful. First of all, Shulchan Aruch Rav is, or was, and then maybe in Belz, and maybe Chernobyl. So we have to be more careful.
Where is Belz today on
Makban? Today, I don't think they're Makban. I don't think they're Makban. I can't imagine.
They're mostly in Israel.
Yeah, there's Belz here also, but I don't think they're Makban. Okay, so where does that leave us? So we're trying to work our way through the Hasidic world first, because they're the Mekilim. Then we'll get to the Litvisha world, who are the Machmir.
In Eretz Yisrael,
everyone's Machmir. Every time they can have an Eretz Yisrael is Machmir. The question is, what about here in America? So listen to what he writes over here. What about Chabad?
Wait, I assume the reason that they're all Machmir in Eretz Yisrael is there's no Heter of Goyim, correct?
There's no Heter of a lot of things in Eretz Yisrael. But, yeah, first of all, they can have Goyim technically in Eretz Yisrael also. Some hold the whole Het of the Bach is only coupled with the fact that America might only be the Rabban. Some hold like that.
No, but I'm saying, shouldn't the whole Het be based on Bach's Svar? It doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael, so there's no
Het. There could be stuff in Eretz Yisrael that's owned by non-Jews. It's possible, but that's most likely not correct. So what would you think if you go take a trip to Crown Heights and you stop your average Lubavitcher guy on the street, or if you meet him in Manhattan, you ask him, I'm curious, are you guys Makban HaChadosh? So I would say, so if he knows what he's talking about, so you'll tell him Shteitn Shulchan Aruch HaRav to be Machmer. However, that's not the practice with Lubavitcher Jews. They are not Machmer HaChadosh. So I grabbed what I thought, just because practically where they live is almost impossible. You live in the middle of nowhere, where are you going to be Machmer HaChadosh for? You're lucky you can get anything. But listen to what I found this great statement called Minhag Aviseinu. This guy wrote an entire kuntres on Chadosh, and he writes like this: Ulam lepoil nira shebechabad lo yichmiru bedover bedaris achreinim. Later Chabad generations are not Makbin on Chodesh. The Lubavitcher Rebbe said it. That the Chutzlars were not Makbin on Chodesh. The Kach Omer B'Rabim, he said this publicly. Gam Ba'achas M'Sichos, one of his Sichas, which for the record, many Litvish Gedolim went to. They wouldn't have admitted at the time, but they all went to hear the Lubavitcher Rebbe Sichas. Shalem Arosh Sheroi V'Apoyskim Achmir B'Ines HaChodesh. That even though most Paiskim are Machmir, Varishoin of Achrenim, Shematir, Chosh, Chosh, they muted the Muto, but Vagoyim, Yavilna Yotzachaitis Negadasabach, and the Vagoyim was very adamant against it. The Gamma Admar Hazokain, who's the Admar Hazokain? This is how I refer to the Tzemach Tzedek, not the Shochan Acharav. Hoyse Shulin Nisav Yesh Lassi, Mikomakam Adayin, Nog Almo Lohoko Beinze. Said Lubavi Treb, I know the whole Sugyo. I know, and I'm telling you, I think it should be awesome, but I'm telling you the facts, we're making on Chodesh. V'hoisiv kashi yotzim l'rchov b'Brooklyn. If you go onto the streets in Brooklyn, lo'y mortzim af echot sh'yizim b'Chodesh. You're not going to find one guy that's makman Chodesh. V'yimimtzu Yehudi kaze tove l'bracha. If you find him, zozai givenched. Aval ani terim matzos Yehudi kaze. I haven't yet found one. That's a shtickle catch 22, because if the Lubavitcher Rebbe would get up and tell everyone to be makbid, you'd find tons of Lubavitcher Jews that are makbid. Okay. He writes, "Umoisiv da pi psak din admar hazokim shochan arach va'achshav ena oilu mizor and klabas echodesh v'apen agus kolim kul bepoil al kain shesam chusmicha gemur al shitas rishayin v'apoyskim." Now he quotes another shochan arach harav. Again, the shochan arach harav that we quoted is very clear. It should be machmer, but Lubavitcher practice is not to be machmer. It's interesting. So again, Chabad's Mekel, probably the rest of the Chassidim are Mekel. But listen to something which blew my mind when I read this. Number 30, Chazinish. Moran HaChazinish Shechmiru B'chodesh Gam B'shal Nochum U'michotz Laretz. The Chazinish was Machmir. Again, you'll tell me the Chazinish of the Eretz Yisrael. He didn't live his whole life in Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Vilna. He lived in Europe before he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He lived a good chunk of his life in Europe. Granted, he moved to Eretz Yisrael in the mid-30s. And then he lived the last 20 years in Eretz Yisrael. But he lived a bunch of years in Chutz Laretz. How you shun him?
It says, in the last one, you read, Dal Pipsak, Tinad Mor HaZaken, B'Shulchan Aruch.
There's another Shulchan Aruch Harav, which I couldn't find. That supposedly there he's more Mekel. Where he's Mekel. Where he writes this.
V'achshav Ein Oilu Mizan. You're talking about another Shulchan Aruch.
No.
Just another Simon somewhere.
Yeah, another. It could be in your day. The one I found, I couldn't find. The one I found is very adamant. He says it should be Machmer.
But all he says is.
But
that doesn't mean he's possible.
Exactly. Right. He's just telling you the fact. Which is what the Lubavitcher Rebbe basically said. Right. The Lubavitcher Rebbe is telling you, well, look what happens outside. So listen to this with the Chazon Ish. He says, there were years in Eretz Yisrael where there was a chashash chodesh on kemach that came from Chutz Laretz. B'meshech chadoshim chadoshayim b'shonesh haychoshesh lo'y ochlu raboisai. He didn't eat. Chazish wouldn't eat because it was a suffix. Ubnei beisa is halach marogel. Amali agarim b'chaim kesh shlita. B'chaim kesh, he said the following story. Sipur li marna chazinish. His zirus michodesh hetzila oisi. His hakpada to keep chazinish saved the chazinish's life. How? The sipur shenizu michodesh b'yaldus b'chutz laretz. He was always makbid as a little boy on chodesh. The nosa lil moed b'yishivas v'lozhin. And the chazinish went to learn v'lozhin. In Volozhin, they couldn't get Chodesh. So no one ate. They weren't makbun a Chodesh in Volozhin. Because the Chazanish was so makbun a Chodesh, and he went to learn in Volozhin, there was no Chodesh in Volozhin, so he went home. He said, I can't stay here. What am I going to do here in Volozhin? I can't eat anything. He was not there more than three days in Volozhin. So if you want to know how long was the Chazanish in Volozhin, the answer is less than 3 days. This is what Making of a Gadol talks a lot about. Mm-hmm. What happened to Volozhin? We like to paint Volozhin as a perfect world. Everyone was amazing. It's not true. There was a lot of guys in Volozhin that went off the derech. Very famous. Some very famous. Some less famous. He says there was terrible haskola in Volozhin. He says v'kulkula b'churim v'oz yoytzu misham ha-maskilim ha-koyfrim ha-pikorsim ha-mufursamim. Shaharsu sachinach hakodesh atziru bnei Yisrael. V'zesh amar marin shazihiris mechodesh atzilu. That's what it means that Chodesh saved his life. Because if he would have stayed in Volozhin, listen to Chazanish saying, if he would have stayed in Volozhin, it could be he would have become a maskil. But because he couldn't stay in Volozhin because he had nothing to eat, because he was makban Chodesh, he had to go home. He had to go back home. He saved himself in Volozhin. V'alkein lo nitvas chas v'sholim k'may b'churim acherim b'volozhin shenitvasu v'nitvasu l'ruach haskola. Amazing. Chazanish says about himself. He said that he thinks his life was saved because he was makban Chodesh. So the Chazanish and the stipple of that family are very Makbun HaChadosh. Obviously they live in Eretz Yisrael, so it's not Sonegeya, but they were Makbun HaChadosh. But what do you see in Volozhin? They weren't Makbun HaChadosh. That's pretty clear. In Volozhin, they were not Makbun HaChadosh. Right? Look what happens in Volozhin. Okay. So now the question is, what is the Shita of the Mishnah Berurah? What is the Shita of the Mishnah Berurah? Again, this Sugya of Chodesh appears in two places. Once in Hilchas Arachayim and Hilchas Pesach, which we have a Mishnah Berurah on, and once in Yeridea, where we don't have a Mishnah Berurah. So, what's Halta Mishnah Berurah? What did the Mishnah Berurah hold? So, if you go back to page 2 for a second, look at the Mishnah Berurah number 32a. There's an Archa Shulchan here, which we probably should get to at some point, but we're short on time. So let's try to get to the Mishnah Berurah at least. Says the Mishnah Berurah. He writes, Roiva ukemaat kul mizrach pesach, umikomokim. Roiva oilam ein anizar in klal b'yisr chodesh. Says the Mishnah Berurah, fact. Most of European Jewry did not keep chodesh. V'yeshe yilmudu aleim z'chus. Now we got to be malam z'chus for them. We got to come up with a justification. We can't have most of the Jewish people eating treif. He says, l'fishu dover kosher liyazor b'zeh. It was hard to be makbid. V'lechein tzaymichim b'bnei adchak al miktas harishayinim shesavim shechodesh b'chutz laretz ein eyalma devir sayifim shegazim b'shom eretz Yisrael v'lo gazu elba mekaymois hasmuchim l'eretz Yisrael k'yem mitzrayim u'bavo. So the first justification that the Mishnah Berurah has is not the Bach. Is what? It's the Magen Avraham. What was the Magen Avraham said there? Quoting for Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch said that we only asked Chodesh and Chutz Laretz rabbinically, and it was only those countries that are near Eretz Yisrael.
What was the reason why only the countries near Eretz
because there's more of a chash. Right, because more of a chash will bring it into Eretz Yisrael. You won't be makbid in Eretz Yisrael.
You're not sure where the...
So he writes over there. The yesh limud u'aleim z'chus. And some have another limud z'chus. She'saivim she'chadesh einar noig. Ela b'tvua shal Yisrael. Back on page 3. Ela b'tvua shal Yisrael avaloi b'shalakum. So the Mishnah, again, if you read the Mishnah Berurah carefully, what was his real saving grace for the Jews? It wasn't the Pach. It was really the Magen Avram. What was the Magen Avram? The Magen Avram's had to that what? That because it's only the Rabban and Chutz Laretz, and it's only those Mekayimus HaSmuch and Laretz Yisrael. Which is not the way the Chassidim fear is. The Chassidim are all Samech on the Bach with the Baal Shem Tov. That's not what the Mishnah Berurah says. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, what about the Bach? And he says, Lefizet Tzorech Lahazil Yisrael. You gotta tell the Jews. If you're gonna be Samech on the Bach said is only if the guy owns the Tzvuah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Lefizet Tzorech Lahazil Yisrael, you gotta warn the Jews. Sheesh Lem Tzvuah. Zrua Besadoi Sholehem. There were Jewish field owners. So if you're going to grow the crop by you, then you have to be careful. Even though we cannot stop those that eat chadash, now that was a cut and pasted line. Where did that line come from? That was the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham wrote that. The Magen Avraham wrote that Yishab Bal Nefesh should try to be machmer as much as he possibly can with chadash. Why? Because according to many Rishonim, i.e. Rif, Rambam, Rosh, Shulchan Aruch, you want to put them in the category of Rishonim, Chodesh is in Yisrael Deraisa, Bezman Hazeh. V'da'a oid. Da'av she'kosvu le'el b'shem ha'achorene de'bechitin ein lochosh klal. She'em ha'im she'chosh b'nei da'haroiv nizu b'vadei b'choy dish cheshven. With the wheat, you don't have to be so worried, because most of the wheat grows in cheshven. Ka'ayoyim she'derech lohavi al derech mesilas ha'barzel. What's mesilas ha'barzel? Train. Silas Abarzal means a train. Kemachitim im kermas orchekim. Says Mishnah Berurah, very nice. But today, we import. We don't just have homegrown. Of course, again, today we have much more than that, right? V'yadua shebefnim Russia. Inside Russia, nim tzahabi mekermas shenizwa machitim mekayitz. There's many, many, what we call today, spring slash summer wheat in Russia. U'matzei sham chodosh kemad yoysim enayashan. Then you can have much more. Mishnah Berurah was saying that people are saying on the fact that here in Poland, we have mostly, we grow the grain in Cheshvan. That's what we spoke about last week, as we called that the winter crop. So the winter crop, takanat chodesh. But says the Mishnah Berurah, but it's not so fast. Today we import from Russia. And in Russia they have a spring crop. That's right.
But it is chodesh.
Yeah, right. It's not going
to
be a problem.
It's not going to get to market.
Correct. It's not going to get to the market till after Pesach. But this stuff, that what we call the spring slash summer crop, that's going to be a real problem, says the Mishnah Berurah. And he writes, "Shaz kvar nasa kemech mitzvah chadosha." So the Mishnah Berurah is just pointing out to you, you got to be aware of the various crops. Then he writes another thing. Then he writes, "V'kosvah acharenim daft nizor mechadosh ena nizor beplitas kelim." Here's another question: if you're makmer chadosh, what do you do with dishes? Let's say you go to your friend for a meal, and they cook on that chadosh. And even if they're not going to cook for you chadosh, but the pots are balua iser chadosh, so that your pots are full of what you consider treif. So, how do you let eat off those plates?
So, plates not a problem because we learn based on what we learn.
The what?
Because it's not barnat. It would only be a pot.
The pot would be a problem. No, I mean the pot that he cooked in would be. Last night he made noodles that are chadosh, and tonight he made you yashan noodles. But the ma'aseh it's full of blias. So, Mishnah Berurah writes, "Im loy shabor loy shesbasha by mitvu chadosha v'nirish af bezein lahachmir rak b'teich me'es leis minabishal rishon." He says, it's only a problem if it's within 24 hours. Grada, the OU, has an interesting policy. The OU's policy is that when they write something yashan, it doesn't just mean that the kemach was yashan. It means it wasn't even on a machine that was within 24 hours used for chadash. Because that's what yashan means. Yashan means even meis leis. But again, so...
The OU is makbid.
No, the OU is not makbid, which we'll have to talk about at some point. Why not? The OU is not makbid. They give ashkacha both to Yashan and to Chadash. But if something says Yashan on it, it doesn't just mean that the tefuah and the flour was Yashan. It means it was not even on a machine that was used for Chadash within 24 hours. This is Chumra the Mishnah Berurah.
So people that are makbid are also makbid that it shouldn't be produced on a machine. That's
within 24 hours.
Within 24
that's
hours.
Correct. So that's when the OU gives Yashan, that Yashan is a big statement.
But in America, the machines are running.
The OU is not. The OU writes in there the thing that if it says Yashan, again, if it doesn't say Yashan, so, all bets are off. But if it says Yashan, it means that we waited 24 hours before we ran it. It's a big thing. So if you're going to buy a pack of noodles or a pack of flour, whatever you're buying, and it says in it Yoshon, that means not only is the flour in the bakery, not the cook, not Yoshon, it wasn't even on a machine. Okay.
So it's still that whole process uses heat, right? So
the blend is right. So using heat, right?
Yeah, so if it's not, there's no break of the 20 flours. So you have to be concerned.
Correct. So if you look in the Sharatzin, he writes, why is Eis L'Eis any better? He says, the Lava'acha me Eis L'Eis, Unoisin, Tam Lefgam, this we know already, after 24 hours, all the time becomes stale. Yeshlis Machal Ekilim Kenirli. So Mishnah Berurah explains that if it's after Eis L'Eis, you can be Mekel because it's already Unoisin, Tam Lefgam, it's only the Rabbanon, pile on another Heterim. But it sounds like to me that at least within 24 hours, you got a problem. So again, the Gemara has a klal, Stam Keli is in Binyoyim, but again, I guess if you know for sure, that, this woman cooked, or man cooked in a pot, chadosh, and then 5 hours later he wants to cook in that same pot. It sounds like you should try to be machmer, not to use the same pot.
Considering there's so many of the lights that most people don't, you would think that there would be a little bit of a makel on that aspect of the
right?
Pots.
Right, we are. And we're makel after 24 hours, right? After 24 hours.
Eating something, I mean, it just wouldn't be that God would allow that.
It's a very strange thing. You could have a chassidish guy who's makbir b'chol adurim, and he has no problem eating it. Then you have this litvish guy who's not makbir b'chol v'yisrael, so they call him a shegetz. But, he's sitting here, no, I can't eat it. It's chadash.
You ever tried to implement one of these selling the fields, you know what I mean, so that it's owned by a guy and you get rid of it and you just buy it back like we do in
a period of time? No, I'm telling you, that's what we are, but that header is questionable.
I'm saying, but at least you get it to one level.
I'm saying most of the stuff you're going to buy are probably going to be owned by... Right. Yeah, the pastas for sure. The pastas and some of the other stuff. And still, that's questionable. Now, there's a very long bear halach over that needs to be...
Oh.
Depends...
Depends
where you go. It depends where you go. By us in Yeshiva, when I was in Yeshiva in Shaar Torah, they were makbid gomer. They once got a delivery of bread that was not yashan. They sent it back. They said that was chadash. They sent it back.
Again,
but you have to be careful. In the five towns, like again, we're skipping ahead of ourselves. But for the record, the OU, the Star K, the Chav K, the Vada five towns, it does not require the stores to be yoshim. They will give ashkacha to food that is chadash.
Themselves.
Will sometimes some of them, not all.
No, I don't have sign.
They have the sign up, but you don't. They don't have to be. I mean, they will give a hashkacha to something that is clearly not chadash.
So in traditions, they said the following.
Products, exactly.
Yashan, the other ones.
That's right. I mean, they'll give you a list. They told me they were very nice. I spoke to the Vada five towns. They told me we will give you a list of what is and what's not, and which stores are and which stores are not. Obviously, if it says yashan, so you know it says yashan.
So within certain stores,
that's right. There'll be some stuff that's chadash yashan. They again.
Caterers, you go to Simba's.
It's a big problem. People that are makon chadash, they go to a chasna, they walk into the back, and they ask the mashkiach, "What's the deal with the challah?" Now, if it's a chassidish guy, right? That's a problem. But I know this is why. Again, we'll have to get to this next week. It's very complicated to keep chadash. I don't like to use the word annoyance, but it's a big annoyance because you don't know what's what. And if you're going to be on top of it, you got to really be on top of it.
Are we stopping now?
Yeah, we have to stop. But Belinda, I was hoping this would go quicker. So Belinda, next week we'll finish it up. If you decide to keep chadash, it takes a lot of. It's an investment, which we'll Belinda to get to next week. What should you talk to do when all the smoke clears?
Way, Rabbi,
what?
He's not going here.